Nightlife on ABC Radio.
In 1975, just 10% of Australians were obese. Today, the figure is 30%, with another 35% classified as overweight. Alarmingly, 25% of Australian children are overweight or obese. According to the Australian Dietary Guidelines, less than 7% of us consume a healthy diet. It's quite extraordinary figures. What is really going on here, and why does our obesity problem seem out of control with no preparedness for real action or to tackle the problem? Gary Sachs is Associate Professor at Deakin University's Global Centre for Preventative Health and Nutrition and joins us this evening. Gary, good evening.
Good evening.
Welcome to Nightlife. There's growing recognition that solutions focused on the individual, like diet and exercise, don't work or ignoring the real problem. What do we mean by this?
Well, what we mean by that is the problem is not one of a lack of individual responsibility for eating healthy diets. The problem, as the evidence shows, is that the problem is we live in a world where junk food is pushed at us all the time. We're surrounded by it. It's heavily marketed. It's very convenient. It's often very cheap, and it's that environment that's driving our unhealthy diets. Not just that we can't be bothered to eat healthy.
But everyone knows what unhealthy food is, don't they? I mean, there can't be anyone on the planet who doesn't know that some foods are healthy and other foods are not. Or at least in this planet that we live on. Here in Australia. So why do we get it so wrong?
Well, it's a very good question. I mean, I think you're definitely right. In general, everyone knows in principle we should be eating lots of fruit and veggies and, not
everyone knows
too many.
A salad sandwich is healthier than a meat pie. We know that.
Exactly. I mean, there's some complexity in the middle there, but for the most part, I 100% agree with you. We all kind of know what's healthy, what's not. So where we've gone wrong, I guess, is in constructing a system where there's big food companies who are to make lots of money, and they're very good at selling us stuff. And unfortunately, the system's set up so they sell us a whole lot of junk food.
Yeah, but why do we buy it? I mean, if they're saying the Australian Dietary Guidelines, less than 7% of us consume a healthy diet, that means almost nobody's eating one.
The problem in a country like Australia, we live in a world when you go to the supermarket, which is where most Australians buy most of their food, it's just set up to encourage you to buy the stuff that isn't in a healthy diet. So if you're walking at the end of aisles in a supermarket, the things that are promoted there are half price chips and chocolates. Mm-hmm. When you go to the checkouts, again, it's all the specials and the that's around you are sugary soft drinks, chocolates, unhealthy food. And so we live in a world that makes it very easy to buy junk food and much harder to choose healthy products. And collectively, that's meant Australian diets are terrible.
Why is our diet so terrible? And for example, you say that we're worse than America, for example, which is often held up as the junk food sort of nation of the planet.
I'm not sure we're worse than America, but it's certainly very similar. And the reason for that is a very similar sort of economic structures that, mm-hmm. but some countries are slightly better than Australia and the US. And that's really because, their governments are taking this issue really seriously and have put in place, policies that stop that pervasive junk food marketing that we have in Australia.
But why, for example, are we so much worse than European countries? Because, I mean, they're subject to the same corporations. The corporations are selling the same stuff. Why do they do better?
So, I mean, part of it is certainly cultural. So in countries, say, in Italy or France, their food culture is different to Australia, where I think much more emphasis on home cooked foods and food as a has pride of place in their culture. But have I guess so that's one aspect, but a bigger aspect, as I say, is that their governments are taking steps to stop the incessant promotion of these products. So even in the UK, for example, they've just recently put in place policies that are limiting junk food marketing to kids. They also have better food labeling laws than we do. They have just this month put in place restrictions on junk food being at checkouts in supermarkets. Mm. So these are governments that have seen how unhealthy their diets are, and they're now taking steps to address it. Whereas in Australia, we just haven't seen that kind of action.
Mm. What's the solution? Should the government, you know, close down McDonald's and all its ilk?
No, that's not what I don't think we need to go as far as closing.
Well, we almost do, don't you? Down. The logic of where we're at says that that's what we need to do, isn't it? Surely.
Well, I think that the problem at the moment is that it's just all pervasive. Where any kind of shopping strip is just dominated by fast food outlets selling junk food. Mm-hmm. As I say, in the supermarket, the heavily promoted products are those unhealthy products. So I guess what we're calling for is just to turn that around so that the products that are most in your face are healthy ones. So I guess there'd be a place for fast food outlets, but just not 10 in a row. And when you watch TV, I guess what we're saying is when kids are watching TV, don't have just a series of ads for unhealthy food, because we've got a big problem in the country. And yet the rules and regulations are just encouraging more and more of the same junk food advertising.
It's all chicken and egg here, isn't it? Because I'm sure plenty of listeners would say, well, hang on, it's people choosing to buy these things. You know, they know it's unhealthy, so why are they doing it? What do you think? What do you think they actually don't know that it's unhealthy?
I think that social norms have drifted over time. So I'll give an example. In kids sport, one of the key sponsors of a lot of kids sport around the country is a big hamburger chain. Mm. And so when kids do well at their sport, the prize for you know, player of the match is a voucher to that hamburger chain. And that's become exciting for the kids, so that they know when they do well at sports that they're going to get a voucher, and then the whole family goes off to that particular chain, and that's the kind of food they eat. But that's a social norm that's crept in. And so I think the way that these products are marketed to us have meant that it, rather than being, say, a treat on a special occasion, it's actually just part of our everyday life, that these products are just part of our diet, part of our world, and it has major health consequences. And so what we need as a community is a shift where that isn't the norm, and instead where the norm is healthy, convenient food, but not junk food.
And cost is another thing, isn't it? I mean, the harsh truth is that it's often more expensive to buy fresh food than it is to buy quick, easy, unhealthy takeaway food.
Absolutely. And cost is one of the biggest drivers on what people choose to buy. Mm. And so I guess in thinking about solutions to the problem, we do really need a change where we can drive down the price of fresh food and veggies, and at the same time make it, less incentive for people to choose really cheap, unhealthy food.
Yeah, so what would you do? What would you do? You're king for a day. What are you going to do? we do talk about this issue a lot, don't we? We don't ever seem to make any progress on it. So I'm just wondering if we, and presumably governments have been getting, you know, this kind of advice from you and others who know about it for a very long time. So
yeah, that's
why don't we do
right
why don't we do anything about it?
Well, I'll tell you about some very clear things that the government could do right now. That's mm-hmm. And then we maybe can talk about why they're not doing it. Mm-hmm. So about 50 countries around the world have put a tax on sugary drinks, and that's working really well in the countries that have done it. Mm-hmm. Several countries around the world have put in those restrictions on marketing of junk food to kids. So you can't do it online, you can't do it on TV when kids are watching, etc. Mm-hmm. And there's also a range of countries that have now put better food labeling standards in place. So warning labels showing, so if a product's high in salt or fats or sugar, gets a big fat warning label on the package, which really makes it very clear which products are not good for you. And so those are probably the first things I'd do if I got to be king for the day. And so you have to ask the question, why are other countries putting these things in place and yet the Australian government so far has not taken those steps? And it really comes down to, I guess, the government being concerned about food industry profits rather than the health of the population.
Yeah. When you say food industry profits, there are profits across the range. I mean, there is a clear budget imperative in having a healthy population, because an unhealthy population, obesity, simply costs the government money. And they understand this too, don't they? I mean, the economic equation is pretty stark. The government ought to be doing this because it would save money.
Well, absolutely. It would save a lot of money, billions of dollars a year.
In all the health treatments, all the money spent on obesity treatment.
That's right. And so it's highly cost effective from a government point of view to put some changes to the rules in place.
But I suppose, Gary, if there's a note of frustration in my voice, it's because we seem to have the same conversation. This is not your fault, I know. You must be banging your head against the wall in a similar way. That governments know these things. They know it. They know that they're wasting money. They know they'd save money by doing these things. Why don't they do it?
Well, I mean, I think it's a complex answer because it probably comes down to the electoral cycles being short term. Mm. And so a lot of these health issues only arise in the long term. So the sorts of diseases that are affected by unhealthy diets are things like type 2 diabetes, heart disease, several cancers, but they take many decades to kind of play out. And so with the unhealthy state of our population, we know that in 20, 30 years' time, there's going to be a complete epidemic of these chronic diseases.
Yeah.
But in the short term, I suppose the governments are worried about, potential backlash from voters against some of these measures, which might affect the short term. They're worried about the food industry reaction and how that might affect tax revenue in the short term. But really, your question is an excellent one, and you're kind of banging your head against the wall, saying, well, why aren't these changes being put in place when we know that it's going to cost the economy billions of dollars? It's going to affect the health so severely in years to come.
Yeah, I mean, it was exactly the same with smoking, wasn't it? I mean, you know, the cost of banning smoking wasn't a cost to the government at all. It was a benefit because of the huge health savings resulting in not having to treat people with all the attendant diseases caused by cigarette smoking. I mean, it's the same equation here, isn't it?
It is exactly the same equation. And what I find even more interesting is that when we do public opinion surveys about, for example, asking people what they think about a tax on sugary drinks or stopping marketing to kids, the vast majority of people say they're in favor of it. So it's cost effective. The public support it. It makes sense from a health and economic point of view. And yet still the government doesn't do it. It does feel like we're banging our head against the wall, but hopefully the conversation's starting to change. Mm.
In this, as in so many things, actually, elected governments simply do not carry out the will of the people. Because you're quite right. Every time we have these discussions on air too, people say, well, yes, absolutely. It's self-evident, you know, do something about it. Yep. Must be so frustrating, I know, for people such as yourself, Gary, who are in the middle of it all as well. Sorry, go on.
Yeah, but I have to say, I think attitudes are warming up to this kind of thing. People are increasingly realizing what a big problem we're facing, and other countries are paving the way for what sort of policy responses there can be. And I think surely it's inevitable that the government will see the writing on the wall and take the evidence-based steps.
Mm. Let's hope so. All right, Gary, good to talk. Thank you.
Thank you.
You've been listening to a Nightlife podcast. For more great conversations about the issues that impact you, as well as features on travel and food, head to the Nightlife webpage. You'll find it at abc.net.au/nightlife. You don't need to be a night owl to enjoy the nightlife.